All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off in the red edition. We're still in Parakut Aleph, page Kuf Lamed Aleph. Betira, ki achos hakino ki achem devataylo. Now that I'm chalrais, remember going through the multiple negative midos that we are trying to avoid. So he says the sister of jealousy, the sister of kino, is chemda and taiva, desire. Desire in footnote 296. Yeah, well, let's go on. He says, Hello, he hamiagas leiv ha'adam ad yod moso. So we'll say, desire, taiva, could go ahead and something that tires the heart of man until literally the day that he dies. You come amaram zechonim levracha, in adam meis vechatsi ta'ava sobiyadu. As Chazal, right? That when a person dies, he has not even acquired half of the things that he desires. Taiva is a very profound nida. Va'amnam, ikar ha-taiva, pona l'shnei rashim. So we'll say, taiva manifests itself in one of two ways. Ha'echad hu ahmamo, so one is a desire for money. Va'sheni hu ha-kavod, and the second is for kavod. It's interesting that the Ramchal says, these are the two strongest forms of taiva, right? Money and honor, money and kavod. But we'll say, you know, his idea of in adames, v'chati ta'ava sabiyodah is a very profound yisod. I mean, it's the Gemara's yisod, the Medrash yisod. This idea that if a person is too steeped in the mida of taiva and desire, so a person will never be happy. You see people like this in life, that they say, oh, if I only had this, I'd be happy. Then what happens? They get the this, and suddenly they realize, oh, I'm not happy, right? And so, okay, oh, it must be that I need that. And they spend their life saying, this is going to make me happy, this is going to make me happy, this is going to make me happy. And it turns out that all the things they desire, they thought will give them happiness, will not, in fact, give them happiness. And they're still steeped in desiring the next thing after the next thing. So therefore, the Ramchal says that this desire for this taiva manifests itself in one of two ways. Mamon, money, and secondly, covet, honor. Shneim ke'echad ra'im ma'ot, both are very terrible. The gomrim la'adam ra'os rabos. And above said, this desire for money, constant desire for money, constant desire for covet, are things that ultimately cause man many misfortunes. He says, "Hine chandas hamamom, hi ha'oseres oso b'ma'asra di ha'olam." So we'll say, so constant desire for money. We'll say, I want to be clear. When the Ramchal talks about desire for money, there's nothing wrong with desiring a good parnasa. There's nothing wrong with working hard for a good parnasa. He's describing a totally different level. He's describing where literally cash is king. You know, this idea that everything in life is about making money. That's where the problem comes in. Person wants to work hard to make a good parnasa, to be able to afford a nice lifestyle. Nothing wrong with that as long as the making of that parnasa does not become the most important thing in my life. He says, this desire of money ultimately, again, goes ahead and incarcerates him in the world. Now, what does that mean? If you look at 299, he says, so none of us say the only way to go ahead and make money is to be able to go ahead and involve oneself in earthly material matters. So if a person has an unhealthy desire for money, he will find himself wholly fixated and rooted in the material world. I mean, all of his kohos, on all of his abilities, will be directed towards the material world. And really what the Ramchal is saying is, there'll be nothing left for spiritual pursuits. V'nosenes avosos ha'ama va'isek azro osav. It puts literally the shackles of effort and involvement on his hands. Because, of course, the great problem is that when a person begins to love money, he never has enough money. That's the danger here. But say, remember again, we had Dr. Pelkovitz, who was a scholar in residence last year, and I don't know if you remember, he told the incredible story that after the market crash a number of years ago, so he had a man who came to see him, who was essentially clinically depressed. So Dr. Pelkovitz said, "So what's the problem?" So he said, "I lost, you know, a third of my wealth." So Nebuch, you know, so Dr. Pelkovitz said, "Okay, you must be struggling." So he said, "Yes." He said, "Just tell me, like, what What did you lose? I lost $50 million. So he said, that's a third of your wealth. So he didn't get that straight. He said, yes. So he said, so meaning you still have another $100 million, right? The man said, yes, but I lost a third of my wealth. And he was literally depressed over the fact that all he had was $100 million. Now, I will say, now obviously losing a third of your wealth is certainly a significant thing, but this idea that a person could become depressed over, quote unquote, only having $100 million to his name, of course, speaks to a certain orientation. And that's Oif Kesef. If your life is about money, again, I will say, I want to be clear. Ramchal is not advocating saying, you know, pas b'melech tocha, v'ala aretz tishan, you know, that you know, sleep on the floor, eat hard bread, don't get involved in the material. That's not Ramchal is saying at all. Ramchal is saying that in life, you have to choose what your orientation is. What's the most important thing to you? If the most important thing is making money, then just understand you're setting yourself up for failure because you will never be happy. Because he who loves money will never have enough of it. Money should be important to you. Money should be something you work for. Money should be something I'm responsible with. But at the end of the day, it can't be something I love. And it can't be something I desire more than anything. Because if that's what happens, I will never be happy. I will never be content. I will never have everything I need. And this that Ramchal says is one of the strongest forms of taiva. He amisira osam in avoda. So what happens? You know, again, then when the making of money becomes the most important thing, by definition, you know, in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, familiar with this concept, Maslow has a hierarchy of needs. Maslow was a social scientist or a psychologist, so he has a hierarchy of needs. So Maslow has that life is like a pyramid. And you have to decide what goes on the various blocks of your pyramid. Now, he had a great chap. Now, the reason he draws the hierarchy of needs with a pyramid and not a building, so what's the chilik between a pyramid and a building? So a pyramid has only one stone on top. So in life, you have to choose for yourself what is your most important priority. There aren't like my three most important priorities. There is a most important priority. And then again, under that most important, there are secondary priorities, but there is only one. Ramchal says, if money is it, if making of money is my most important priority in life, then by definition, just know that that means that Avodas Hashem is not my most important priority. My family is not my most important priority. My spiritual development is not my most important priority. See, he says, so if the making of money is the most important thing in my life, it takes me away from Avodas Hashem. Listen to this, we'll say, how many minyanim are missed because people, quote unquote, have work responsibilities. The kama mitzvos nishkachos. Now, I will say, now obviously, sometimes a person ends up missing a minyan. Of course, it happens to all of us. But the idea is, how many times do we justify it that, look, I got to work, right? Nothing comes before work. I have to work. I'll daven my office. How many minyanim do we miss? The kama mitzvos nishkachos. How many mitzvos do we miss out on? Mipnei rov ha'esek v'yegias hamonas chora. Because of our involvement in our business. Kol shekein talmud Torah is certainly, again, learning, right? Learning goes out the window also. If a person, again, remember what I said, if a person is all about business, then everything is about making my money. Ukvar amru zuchorim livracha. V'lo me, remember what I said, I want to also be clear. V'lo me eiv ala yamhi. Remember, Chazal said, Gemar Mesachas, even quotes the Pasuk in the Tzavim. V'lo me eiv ala yamhi. Literally, Torah, spirituality, God, is not on the other side of the water. He says, "Ba'osam shaholchim me'ever liyam bischora." So the Gemara has a very dramatic interpretation of this. The Gemara says, "Velo me'ever liyam hi." So the way we normally understand that pasuk is to mean that Torah is not on the other side of the water. In other words, you don't have to think that you have to traverse and cross some great body of water in order to acquire Torah. Torah is accessible to everyone. So listen to what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, "No, velo me'ever liyam." Torah is not to be found by those who are constantly traveling across the sea. In other words, that those who have to spend their lives and all of their koach to their business, to making money, you're not going to find Torah with such individuals. He goes on, he says, V'chin shaninu lo hamar be'bischora machkim. So to again, Chazal say, he who goes out and spends all of his time in schora, in his business, will not become a Talmud Chacham. Hiamoseres oso lesakonos rabos. I will say, if money is the most important thing in my life, it places me in the way of incredible sakana. Umateshes es kocho, and it weakens my kochos. Barov hadaiga. But there's another piece over here, which is, you know, if a person's preoccupation in life is with making money, it also gives one, it gives a person an incredible amount of daiga, an incredible amount of money. I mean, again, Parnasa gives us all daiga, right? Parnasa creates concern. We all have concerns for Parnasa and for the security of our Parnasa. But the idea is, if a person is wholly fixated on the making of money, they walk around life with an incredible concern that they may be going to lose it, right? Or something's going to happen to it. Sometimes even when a person is faced with the choice between upholding their religious values and making money, if making money is of paramount importance, sometimes that'll trump everything else. And sometimes it even makes people do stupid things. Sometimes it even makes people make just objectively bad decisions, all in an effort to make money. You see, so we'll say this is the first form of kavod. Now again, I can't say enough. The Ramchal is not saying, therefore, don't worry about making money. The Ramchal is not saying, therefore, you know, sit in your house and say to him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide you with your parnasa. So what the Ramchal is saying is, we all have to work, and we have to work hard. And halavai, we should all be successful, and we should all put in the requisite effort, not just to get by, but to be captains of our particular industry, whatever it might be. I will say, you know, a person could work hard, a person could even work long hours, but that doesn't necessarily mean that their fundamental orientation is to making money. I want to be clear. This is not even about how many hours you spend in your office. A person could work a very long day, but it's a mindset. What is the most important thing for me in my life? Well, say this is a difficult question to answer in general, and I think many of us don't really think enough about what is the most important thing in life. So, you know, there's a chabur that I give on a sefer called Bilvavi Mishkan Etna. So in the sefer Bilvavi, so the Mechaber writes, he says that the most important thing in life is Kirvas Hashem. The most important thing in life is a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means. You know, you could have that even if you're working a 15-hour day. Sometimes a person has to work very long hours to be able to make ends meet, to be able to afford whatever it is that they have to pay for. A person has to work long hours. The question is, what's your orientation? Are you working long hours because there's nothing more important than work? Because there's nothing more important than my business? Because there's nothing more important than making money? Is that why I'm working those long hours? Well, if that's what it is, then my priorities are totally skewed. If, on the other hand, I'm working long hours because I need to make a parnasa, but at the end of the day, if you ask me what's the most important to me, it's my avodas Hashem, it's my close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's my ruchnius. Okay, then at least the person knows that their priorities are in proper order. He goes on, Yisira Allah. Well, so this is very interesting. More than the desire for money is chemdas hakavod, the desire for honor. Ki kvar haya efshar, sheyichbosh ha'adam es yisro ala mamon v'ashar ha'anos. So we'll say it's possible that a person could rein in his desire for money and even other pleasures. But Rabbi say, covet is something, right? Desire for covet is something that pushes us. Ki I efsharlo lispo veliros es atzmo pachos mechaverav. Because if there's one thing I can't stand to see myself given less covet than my friends. Va'al davar zeh nichshelu rabim v'nevdu. And I will say, many people have stumbled on this and have really lost out on incredible life opportunities because of this. I will say, listen to this next week. We actually did this in our Navi Shir a couple of weeks ago, but this is Mamish wild. He says, Hine Yeravam ben Nevat. Let's remember, who is Yeravam ben Nevat is the king of Malchus Israel, the king of Israel. I will say, Yeravam ben Nevat was a terrible guy. A terrible, terrible guy. Now, the truth is, it's not a totally true statement. Yeravam ben Nevat was a good man who did some very bad things. He was the king. Remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the kingdom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, the kingdom is yours, just please, do the right thing, do what I ask of you, and the kingdom will be yours and your descendants. Yeravam ben Nevat instead institutes idolatry. Yeravam ben Nevat goes in and gets people worshipping Avodah Zarah everywhere, all in an effort to consolidate his own power. So listen to this, Rabbi Moses. It says the Medrash, So v'hu masha amru zechron lebrach. Close the Gemara Sanhedrin. Tfasu HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'bigdol. Listen to this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Yeravam ben Nevat, if you can imagine, by the lapels. Right? He took him by the lapels. V'amru lo chazar b'cha. Yeravam du tshuva. Va'ani va'ata uben yishai netayel began Eden. Yeravam, you are not beyond salvation. Come, do tshuva, and me, you, and David will walk together in Gan Eden. I was like, can you imagine that? Ribon Shel Olam tells Rav Ben Avat, you could start over. It's going to be okay. What does Rav Ben Avat say? Amar lo, mi barosh, who's walking first? Right? Who's going to be first in line? Right? Who's leading the procession over here? Amar lo ben Yishai barosh. So this prophet said, David. Right? David is the father of Messianic line. He's David Melch. He said, David Melch Mashiach. He's walking first. Amar lo, ihachi lo ba'ina. And that's the case. Rabbi Ben Levat says, no, thank you. And I will say, now you understand, it sounds funny, but the truth is, you could cry over this. It's tragic that Rabbi Ben Levat is being offered an olive branch by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Come back. Come back. We could work this out. And Rabbi Ben Levat says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I could walk first, I'll come. But you know what? If David's going to be walking first, no, thank you. I'm not interested in that. Because Rabbi Ben Levat, it was all about the covet. And if my ego cannot be satisfied, if my ego cannot be taken care of, then at the end of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'd rather live my... This is what Rabbi Ben Avad is saying. I'd rather live life as a sinner and condemn myself to Gehenna in the afterlife, but get covet in this world, than go ahead and do the right thing, come back with you, and have to keep my ego in check. Says the Ramchal, you see from here how powerful the desire for covet ultimately is. Right? Well, so you know, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem tomorrow with Korach.
Is that how who was
you? Rabbi Ben Avat was the king over Malchus Yisrael when the kingdom split. So there were two kings. Malchus Yehuda, the king initially, was Shlomo was Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, and Malchus Yisrael was Rabbi Ben Avat. What were you saying? No, go ahead.
I wonder how he defines honor, just by feeling superior to others, or getting, what does it mean by covet? Like,
people seek out honor, people seek out covet, they want, why isn't it just,
it's pretty self.
I think so, right, that people want things that are going to make them feel important, that are going to stoke the ego, okay. that put them at least on a higher level, if not an equal level, at least a higher level than others. Okay.